Click kaya959.co.za.
This is how we do it.
To download the Point of View podcast.
So you may have someone in your home who is a grant recipient, social grant recipient, and I just want to have a sense from you. You know, where did that money go? What do you do? What do they do with that money? How far does it stretch? Because the IEJ, the Institute for Economic Justice, is calling for an urgent increase in social grant payments. I want to have their word on why they feel this is necessary. Researcher at the IEJ is on the line with us, Siyanda Badu. Thank you so much for talking to us and welcome to Point of View.
Thank you for having me.
Mr. Badusa, why do you want the social grant payments to be increased?
I think simply it would be to say that the current grant levels are far too inadequate to be able to provide proper people, because the main intention for social grants, as stipulated in the Constitution, social assistance, is it is provided, or the government is mandated to provide for it in the case when people can't, say, provide for themselves or their dependents. But if you have social grants that are at such a paltry level, especially when we have objective measures of like of determining what the how much money people need to meet their needs. For example, we have the Stats SA National Poverty Line. The lowest of those is the Food Poverty Line, which currently stands at 796 rands. That is the minimum amount of money that a single individual needs to be able to meet their most basic caloric requirements. So not even meet a nutritious diet, simply not to starve. Whereas you have social grant levels that sit less than half in some cases, for example, with the social relief of distress. So they urgently need to go up because they currently aren't enough for people to meet their needs.
And you know, when you engage with people on that level, especially those, let's talk about the social relief of distress grant, 370 now, where does it go and what can they do with it? You've just mentioned the fact that, for instance, just for people to survive, it would be around 796, just under 800 rand. That's just to survive, not to meet their needs, but just to survive. What do they do with the 370?
It definitely isn't enough to live on. And I think essentially what has to happen for a lot of social relief of distress grant is that recipients have to rely on other people.
Yeah.
But then even in the way that the grant is designed, it is that people are punished should they receive support from other people, or even say they attempt to create livelihood opportunities for themselves. Because not only do you have a very low grant threshold, you also have a very low income threshold. So if someone says, finds a part-time job and they're paid via their bank account, 700 rands in a month, that becomes basis for them to be disqualified. When it comes to, I think, an important point to make also is that what also happens is you usually also have households, especially when we're looking at caregivers with children, for example, who receive the child support grant. What happens is if their support is inadequate, if they're receiving the SRD, for example, and their children are receiving the child support, which is slightly higher, then what they do is they pool all of those grants together and essentially divide it among those household members. So you can even have something like the child support grant, which at 560 is already low, but when it has to support a child and their mother, imagine how much lower it becomes.
And so when you now, you know, formulate an argument to have this increased, how far do you go? You know, and I'm not asking you because I don't believe that this should be increased. What would be the threshold for you?
I think that's a good question. I think a very fair question as well. And what we can use as a guide is definitely the Stats SA poverty line. So what we're saying is that the grant value shouldn't just be determined based on nothing, right? You shouldn't just pick a number off the air. It should be at least based on a scientific determination of what makes it an adequate value. And the food poverty lines were what the grants were initially pegged to. So the child support grant, for example, in 2008 and before was equal to the food poverty line. But over the years, it has fallen behind. Exactly, because it subsequently receives these below inflation increases. And over the years, even if it's very little, say it increases by 10, 20 rands instead of 50. Over the years, that has added up, and now there's such a big gap between that adequate level and what the grant currently is.
So interesting. Do you get the sense, though, that this is something that at least government will engage in? And I was speaking to my previous speaker saying we all know what's happened with the budgets. But we are probably at a critical point, right, where we need to be specific about what money goes for what in each department. Is this something that you feel, you know, you can lobby for and get some sort of an ear from government?
Yeah, so I think when it comes to government at the moment, I think that there is a pretty big contradiction in the policy stances. So you have the Department of Social Development, which I think definitely understands the struggles that people are facing. So they, for example, this year tried to lobby National Treasury into allowing them to extend the SRD grant for more than 2 years. They're currently also working on a maternal support policy, which would say provide some form of income support or grant to pregnant mothers before their children are born so that you can provide for them, because even that stage of nutrition is so important. But the issue really is massively National Treasury, who are against the resourcing of these grants, and because they are the ones essentially who determine the value of the grant. They're the ones who determine what policies get implemented through budgeting, and that's how they've been able to control the policy. So as long as government hasn't resolved that contradiction, I think that it's going to continue looking bad. But I think in terms of the prospects, I mean, there is a hope. I'll briefly mention, for example, the SRD grant court case that happened late last year, when the judgment was handed down this year, where the judge found that, among many other things, the grant value being as low as it is constituted a retrogression in constitutional rights. A retrogression would mean that, so the government, when it comes to socioeconomic rights, is obligated to slowly increase them over time to everyone. But if you aren't increasing grants and they're being eroded by inflation, you're essentially taking away from them. So people also have the protection of the Constitution. So I think there is hope in the fight for a more reasonable level.
I mean, you raise a very important point in that case, because when you look actually at inflation and other factors, for instance, let's talk about the city of Johannesburg. Those electricity hikes are coming up. We know that, for instance, there was a discussion before we finalized this current budget that the zero-rated foods were probably going to be increased. That list was going to be increased. It's no longer going to be increased anymore. So many other factors add to the cost of living, which kind of, in a way, then diminishes whatever little money that people may have had last year when you compare it to how much they'll have in their pockets this year.
Exactly. And I think we saw that the VAT being rejected based on the fact that it is a pretty regressive policy. But I mean, the substitute that we got, an increase in the fuel levy, isn't all that much better when it comes to the distributive effect. It's similar to the VAT in that it is also pretty regressive, and it's going to have a negative impact in the cost of living for many people. And I think importantly also, it was that, especially for the very poor social grant recipients, that zero rating proposals being withdrawn, essentially they were being introduced in order to shield them in some way from a more regressive tax mix. But with those being withdrawn and a fuel levy still being put forward, it is certainly going to make things worse for them. And I think very briefly also, it is, when you look at the successive budgets that we saw not eventually being accepted, is what happened in the social grant case was you initially had around 29 billion that was allocated to above inflation increases for the grants in the very first budget that wasn't tabled. As I think there was even recognition from the government that they are at far too low levels. But when they didn't get their 2% VAT increase to pass, what happened was they took away those increases. So now the grants got increases this year because it was those passed in April before the latest budget got tabled. But increases for next year and the year after that got removed. So there isn't even any kind of shield for social grant recipients in the medium term.
And if I remember correctly, there was a pronouncement, and it was quite deliberate and quite public, In saying the criteria for who, you alluded to this earlier, who would qualify for the social, for instance, social relief of distress grant, had to be adjusted so that fewer people get to qualify. And that is as a result of, you know, you would have to say, because government wants to pay less, you know, not distribute more, even though we know that the number of people who are now poor is increasing.
Right, exactly. I mean, there really is no reason in South Africa whatsoever to believe that, like, the quality of life that people are living are improving. Unemployment levels are higher than they've ever been, and they're constantly increasing. Similarly, when you look at statistics for food insecurity, for example, that's worse than it has been in the last 10, 15 years. Child malnutrition statistics are actually pretty shocking, because you have now at the highest level ever a proportion of like 28% of all children under the age of 5 are stunted. That means they're too short for their age. And that's linked with things like, where as they grow older, worse education outcomes, worse cognitive development. And we're even doing worse than the average global population. So there really isn't any basis to want to argue for the reduction in the social grant system. We haven't seen any improvement in people's lives that would justify that, beyond simply looking at ways in order to cut costs. And recently, we've seen that a lot of the... We saw in Parliament, SASSA telling the Parliamentary Committee that they have just been given conditions by National Treasury to apply those regressive and exclusionary measures that were previously only part of the SRD grant to all the other grants as well. So it's a really scary space we're in now, where we could also be seeing the rolling back in all of the grants.
Sure. Quite a something to be concerned about. But thank you for bringing this up. And obviously, we'll see how far you go with this lobbying. But I appreciate you bringing our attention to this Institute for Economic Justice's researcher, Sianda Baduza, there, just saying that they are going to be pushing very hard for the grant recipients to get a little bit more than what they're getting right now. For instance, when it talks to the Social Relief for Distress grant, which is sitting at 370, there's you know, discussion about that increasing quite a bit, and many other grants. But I think it's definitely a worthwhile discussion, and we'll keep an eye on this particular story.
Click kaya959.co.za.
This is how we do it.
To download the Point of View podcast.